Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Great guest. I want to say thank you for everyone that came to my live podcast downtown at the Regent Theater. I thought it went extremely well.
I know we're a couple weeks removed from that, but yeah, it was great.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about it, though.
I know. Now we can talk about it.
Do you think it honestly went better than you expected? You expected? It did.
Yes.
So you were pleasantly surprised.
I was. Yeah, I think you had a good guest for like getting into deep stuff quick, and I think that's just his MO.
Yeah, Zach was great.
Yeah, it was. It's different because it's less intimate than this setting, obviously, which is your little den.
But it still seemed intimate.
It was nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope you guys come to the next one. I'm trying to get one for December. So maybe we'll do one in December.
And a few more dick jokes to.
Yeah, the dick jokes were just in the beginning.
Well, that's part of the live setting. You guys were.
Yeah, we were amped. We were amped. We had to stop talking about dick. But thank you for coming. Also, thank you patrons for supporting the podcast. If you love the podcast or enjoying it, you want it to continue, Patreon, patreon.com/insideofyou. There's so many perks now. Look it up, patreon.com/insideofyou. Join, support the podcast. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it. We couldn't do the podcast without you. You get live, your name shouted out every episode. Top tiers get gift boxes from me with signed note, and I always write something nice, and just a lot of perks. YouTube lives just endless, so check that out, patreon.com/insideofyou. Also, Inside of You online store, make sure you check that out. Lots of Smallville ship keys, Smallville scripts, Lexmas scripts I sign, lunch boxes, cool merch from the show. Inside of You zip up jackets are still left. We have some other shirts. So check that out. Also, the talkvillepodcast.com, you can get some new artwork that Tom and I signed, only 50 prints of this new artist who these are amazing prints. So check those out on talkvillepodcast.com. I'm on the Cameo. You could look at all the information at the Michael Rosenbaum on Instagram on my link tree. And there it is, all the information. Sunspin.com is my band. If you want to listen to music on Spotify, love it. We do stage its every month. And I'd appreciate it if you listen to the music. Give it a chance. We have two albums out. And check it out. You can also get Zooms on the Inside of You online store with me. So do that. And great guest today. I will say that Jamie Lynn Sigler brings it. And it's emotional. It's beautiful. And it's exactly what this podcast is and is about. I loved having her on here. She's she talks about her struggles. She talks about her. She's human, and she had a breakdown. She talks about life. I adore her, and just think, I was this close to maybe going on a date with her 20 years ago. It just didn't work out. She chose a football player, an NFL football player, over me, which I understand.
Mark Sanchez.
Now I don't understand it. No, but she's amazing, and we goof. We're good pals, and I adore her. So that's it. That's really all I got. Am I missing anything?
No.
I don't think I'm missing anything. Why don't we just climb right into it? If you like the show, please write a review. Please follow us on our handles at Talkville Podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Talkville at Inside of You Pod on Twitter at Inside of You Podcast on Facebook and Instagram at Inside of You Pod on the Twitter, and write a review. We really appreciate it. And that's all I have to say. Let's get inside of Jamie Lynn Sigler.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience. You do. Your skin looks flawless.
Thanks.
You're in great shape.
Thanks.
You have a killer car.
It's a Turo. You know a Turo?
A John Turturro?
No, it's like a rental car service where they'll they'll literally meet you at the airport and just do the exchange and give you the keys and you can take it for as many days as you want. And it's not that expensive, right?
How do you return it?
Right?
How do you return it?
They meet you wherever, either at the airport or you leave it with the key on the tire somewhere and they'll pick it up.
Is it designed just for airport thing?
No. I had one in Albuquerque once and they just told me a corner of the street that it would be on and I took an Uber there and the key was on the tire.
Are you doing a spot, an ad right now, read for them?
I wish I was.
Why don't you ask them to be a sponsor?
Why don't you ask? This isn't my show.
Well, I mean, I could.
Reach out.
Yeah.
That's a Turo. That's not mine.
It's a Turo?
It's somebody else's car. Turo. T-U-R-O.
The car is called a Turo?
The app is called Turo. The company.
Guys, I'm not very bright today. I didn't get a lot of sleep. That's always my excuse. I don't get a lot of sleep. Do you sleep well? Mm-hmm. You do?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I need it. I need my sleep to function.
Yeah.
I don't do anything also. I have kids. I'm tired. By that time that bedtime rolls around. And maybe I'm just like, I have a clear conscience.
Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe you're just okay with everything. Maybe Your stress levels have gone down exponentially. Yeah. Do you think that's the case?
I mean, it varies. Life goes, you know, in cycles and seasons. But for the most part, I've done a lot of work, like over the last 5 years in particular, I think, like a lot of work on myself. And I think that you get to this point where you start to see it paying off and it's nice. It's not to say that I'm without troubles and hardships and moments. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, I had a mini breakdown with my girlfriends, but like.
Really? What was that like? Where
beautiful.
Was it? Where did it happen?
Where
did
it
you
was,
just call them?
It was
I
in
need
a,
you.
No, it was a intentional meeting per se of friends of like, we're going to get together and kind of, you know, work through our shit and be there for each other in a moment. Like kind of, you know, just with a lot of intention and love and, but without any expectation of kind of what it's going to be. And it turned out being a moment where I really realized that I needed to have a mental breakdown. I had been holding in and holding things together for so long. And, you know, so I have MS and I've had it for 23 years almost. And for much of my journey, I've been applauded and celebrated for how strong I am with it. And I appreciate that. And I can also appreciate it about myself, like how I've dealt with it. But I also think it's been to a fault sometimes because a lot of my being strong was just kind of not expressing how hard it is sometimes and being like, I'm okay. No worries. It's fine.
Yeah.
And it was a moment of like it bubbling over and just, I needed to kind of say all the things that I was afraid to say, which is this sucks and I'm angry and I'm upset and I'm sad and this feels unfair and I don't know what I did to deserve this. And I'm really bummed. And it was a beautiful release. And if anything, it almost like opened Pandora's box a little bit that for like the next week and a half, I was just, a lot of things were just coming out and up and out. And I just tried to breathe through and welcome them. But also it was a moment of me, I always knew my friends were there for me and I had this incredible support system. But like a moment of like, when you look around at like some of your closest girlfriends and them like begging you to give them your shit. It was a moment of like me really understanding how incredibly supported I am. And that like, if I fall apart, there's like a lot of people there that will catch me.
But even so, when you're going through a hard time, your friends, all of our friends, if we're lucky enough, will say, hey, whatever you need, I'm here. How are you? What can I do? What can I do? And I'm never one to really ask for help but there comes a time when we all hit a wall and I've had those moments like you talk about, and then you kind of just go, I fucking need help. Mm-hmm. And the people are like, whoa, hang on a second. You know, that's a little jarring for people. So your friends who are always like, yeah, whatever you need, whatever you need. And you're like strong, struggling. One day you're just like, I'm not fucking strong. Mm-hmm. I'm not strong. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm not strong. And that's why I need you. And this is why I'm having this breakdown. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's like, you just never know. I mean, it's scary being vulnerable. It's scary being like asking for, but it's also beautiful. That's why we're
because
here.
Because people love to be of service and help.
For people they love.
For people that they love.
Not it for is a, people it they is don't.
A, right.
You know?
Well, yeah. Well, then that's when it can be exhausting. But it's a beautiful human exchange. Mm-hmm. It's, if not one of the greatest ones. I mean, it's all love. It's just, but like you said, it's really hard to ask for help. You just assume everybody's got their own shit. Who wants my shit on top of it? But it was a moment of me realizing, like, giving me an hour of time to just share is not a burden on anyone. You know what I mean? It's a moment that changed my life in that moment. It really did.
And this was how long ago?
2 weeks ago? A week ago? A week and a half ago?
And you have your friend here. Introduce your friend.
Yeah, it's my friend Becca Tobin, one of my best friends. Becca and one Tobin's of the beautiful here. Women that was there receiving me and being there for me.
Yeah, we don't have a microphone on her, but...
We wish we did. She's a great advice giver.
You are, huh?
Well, she has a podcast called The Lady Gang, and if you want to hear some of that,
The Lady Gang. Right there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'll check out The Lady Gang. You we should to. All check out The Lady
That's
Gang.
That's right.
You already said she has a big following, right?
Huge.
Really?
Huge.
What does it mean? It means, all right. It means, hey, you're doing something right.
That's
I'd like
right.
to know what that is.
She's a great giver of advice. She really is. And a great listener.
When you say mental breakdown, I think...
Right.
I think yelling and screaming and emotional and I can't, you know, like just to the point where everyone's just like, oh, we should, you know, restrain her or something.
That's exactly what it was. And I've never had one in my life. I realized that, like, even as a child, like I expressing those emotions, my parents were never able to receive that. They were not in a place in their lives to allow me to do that. So mm-hmm. I was always the good girl. I was always told to, you know, put on your lipstick and say everything's fine. So that was the first time that I've really, I mean, I think I've had like little eruptions here and there, but to that extent, never.
And you've never done this in front of your husband?
I mean, he's probably seen me tantrum for a moment.
But he hasn't seen you over the edge.
No. And it was actually to a point where it was bubbling over in our relationship because he has a lot of anger for what I deal with because he has a front row seat every day. And I'm not a complainer. I don't say anything, but he sees me grit my teeth and he sees me push through. And on one hand, he's proud of me, but on another hand, he hates it. Like he hates.
Does he get emotional about it at all?
I'm not emotional, but I think it manifests in ways for him. Like it makes his anxiety worse. I think it makes him more short-tempered with our kids.
Yeah.
I think that it manifests in other ways. He never means to direct it at me and never really does, but I think that a lot of my bubbling over was also like feeling him where, you know, it is a factor in our relationship. Like we had a talk just the other night where I think this moment a week and a half ago we keep talking about really helped, where he was angry about something and I was angry about something. And it felt like we were taking it out on each other. And I literally just said to him, I'm not angry at you. I'm just angry at this situation right now. And he was like, oh yeah, me too. And it was like, huh. And then we cuddled and watched Breaking Bad, you know, but it was like, it was that release allowed us to kind of place our feelings a little bit better. Because before that, it was hard to understand what was about what. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I also think that there's probably, like, I'm speaking out of place here, but I think if I had, you know, MS mm-hmm. or something. And I've had a lot of surgeries and things, but that's not MS. But like, but still, I deal with pain and stuff. But what I'm saying, it's not that. I'm just thinking, like, if you have something like that and you're dealing with it all the time, do you sort of think, I don't want them to like not be here or run away or scare people off, or I just want to try to do everything myself, which is not a good thing. Like not giving help, you know, not asking for help,
right?
Not, and just saying, no, I got this. I'm tough. Yeah. I want to show you that I got this. Whereas you should ask for help when needed. But you know what I mean? Does that make sense at all?
Yeah. I think it's actually more, it's been an evolution for me over of the emotional journey and like experience with this far exceeds the physical one with MS. But I think it's like, I'm now at this point where I'm still processing a lot of like shame I have around it and like embarrassment.
Of what?
Of how it's affected me. Like I hid it for so long, and then I don't like using the wheelchair in the airport. I like put my hat down all the way.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Hey, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
You don't want people to see you.
No. If I hurt my knee skiing and I'd have no problem using the wheelchair because I'm like, I'm hurt and I need this for support.
Yeah.
I don't know why I still have like this issue with that. This like shame issue. Like I only just started bringing a walking stick and a cane out with me every once in a while. I should probably bring it out all the time because it helps me greatly. And I don't, it happens the energy I need to use, mental energy to balance and navigate life. But like, it's not really about anyone else. It's like about me. I feel like I've been like fighting this and trying to beat it and stay on top of it. And to feel like, fuck, I need a cane sometimes. It feels like I failed a little bit.
Oh,
and I also am just like, with this business, I'm like worried that people aren't going to want to hire me because I did that. I walk this way and I use this cane. But I will say I had this job the past 2 years. They had cast me for just like 3 or 4 episode arc. And my character didn't have MS in it. So they worked around it. In fact, they built this rig. My character was supposed to run from somebody in the woods. And they built this rig where I was sitting on it. You just see my upper body moving. And they just had the camera there. So it looked like I was running.
Did it work?
Worked. It was really cool.
Wow.
But then they made me a regular. And it was the first moment for me to be like, oh, like maybe this doesn't matter. People still want me. Oh, I'm like, I still have talent. It was getting so blurry and so messy and so heartbreaking for a while. And so what that job did was A, make me fall in love with acting again because when I would show up to work, the first AD had a conversation with the director before I got there each episode where they were like, this is what you can do. This is what you can't. It's better if you block it this way. So like I didn't have to have this awkward conversation every time.
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful and so supportive. But what it did was now put me in this place where I'm like, I don't want to hide it my next job. I would love to just move how I move and have it be part of it because maybe it'll add something to the story. It doesn't have to be about it. My whole life is not about MS.
Why can't she be a normal person who happens to have MS, who is convicted of murder?
That's right. That's right. I mean, people with MS can be assholes too.
Oh, you can murder.
That's right. I actually would love to play a really complicated, like not nice person.
I thought you were
going
to say I'd love to murder.
Well, yeah, why not? Never done that. Actually, no, I did in Big Sky. But yeah, I think that in the past couple of years, I'm like
letting it go.
Accepting.
Yeah, because, you know,
accepting
the shame thing could be twofold. It could also be part of you going, hey, I just really don't want to be recognized right now, which is, you know, in general, people wear a hat or they're just kind of like, you know, sometimes I'm at the airport and not that I get mobbed, but sometimes yeah. I'm just like tired. And I just wear a hat and sunglasses and just not and just disappear. So that's like, you know, I'm having a tough time. I'm in a wheelchair. I'm tired. I just don't want to fucking deal with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's not all shame. Like, you know, I can't do these things. But
it's not even about being famous. It's like,
well,
I don't know. I'm just being honest. You know, it's because I in my meeting other people that live with MS and chronic illness. And you know what? In general, I just feel like the more that I am being more honest with myself about my feelings and talking about these things, like sometimes you think the more specific you get, the more like distant it's going to be, then people aren't going to understand. But I'm finding like the more specific I get, the more universal it actually is. And yeah. like everybody's got something. I live with my shame and my shit out. You see it. And that's where I'm grateful for it because it's really opened me up. I can't hide from it. People ask me about it. And then I had the most beautiful exchange with a TSA guy the other day.
Really?
Yeah. Where I was getting the wheelchair through security and he was like, Meadow. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, I have MS. This, you know, makes my life easier through the airport, this and that. And then we just started talking and he said to me, he's like, you know, I really appreciate you opening up to me right now. He's like, having nothing to do with what you've done and what you do, like, you're a really beautiful person. Like, and I just started crying. I'm like, thank you for seeing me. But without this, I don't know if we would have had that conversation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's cracked me open.
I see what you're saying.
In a way.
Yeah.
And I think I try not to find, like, a spiritual meaning in everything in life, because I think sometimes that can like make it overwhelming, life overwhelming. Sometimes things just happen. But I do think that bigger things happen in our lives as catalysts for us to really grow. And I think that maybe there would have been something else, but without MS in my life, I don't know where I'd be.
Wow.
I would like a life without it though.
Sure.
I would. At this point.
Do you talk to, well, first of all, do you have any friends or family who just get really emotional all the time when you're around?
My mom.
She, no matter what, if you're having trouble walking, she loses
it. Hysterical.
And what do you say? Mom, what do you say?
It's okay. It's okay.
Do you ever cry with her?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I try not to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's mainly with her.
What about with other people who are dealing with MS?
Yeah.
Are you an advocate? Like, are you talking to people? Or are you?
Christine Applegate's a really good friend of mine.
Yeah.
I was just with her this morning. She, you know, we have this like beautiful exchange we talk about where she feels like I'm like her light. But yeah. I also have experience. But she also gives me permission to be like, this fucking sucks. Because she's not afraid to say that.
And when was she diagnosed?
A couple of years ago.
Right. And,
yeah.
and has she had it for a while or is it something that she's only had it for?
I'm not sure. I think it like there were symptoms that were coming on and, you know, she figured it out fairly quickly from what I understand. Yeah.
And she's sort of like, hey, what's going to happen? What happens first? What's the initial, like, did she ask you a lot of questions? Like
we
that?
Did. Yeah. We had an initial conversation, but like, I'm not I live with it. And I'm not an expert. It affects all of us very differently. But I think what it helps is just to have somebody that understands and gets it.
Yeah, but if somebody had COVID and I had it, I go, hey, what happens when you got COVID? What can I expect? Well, some people, you know, I'd be always like,
yeah,
I'd be, you know, racking your brain and all that stuff. But
yeah, we've had those conversations for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. But we also have, we also talk about Bravo a lot because we both like to watch Bravo.
What do you watch on Bravo?
Most of the Housewives, most of the houses, like the Winter House, the Summer House.
I don't know anything about that. All I know is I saw something with you just recently, how they said James Gandolfini had sex with a housewife. What the hell was that?
Yeah, this housewife on Jersey, like,
do you believe her?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it was, but it was like, it was 100 years ago. Yeah. You know, they were in their 20s.
And she wasn't
or 30s.
A housewife then.
No. Housewives didn't exist back then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Simpler she wasn't even times. A wife, probably.
Simpler times. Yeah.
Simpler times.
Yeah.
So how did you respond? You're like, okay.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's disrespectful when somebody's no longer living and like to their wife. Like, yeah, I felt protective. I didn't like it.
Yeah. You're like, shut up.
Yeah. Shut up, Jen Scheffler.
Is that who it was?
I think that's her name.
Jen Scheffler. Housewives of what?
Jersey.
Jersey Housewives.
Yeah.
Which Housewives is the best? Because you got Orange County. You got New Jersey.
My personal
you have Vegas
favorite.
Girls in there?
No.
Not yet? There's no Vegas housewives?
No Vegas. My personal favorite is the OG New York.
Because original
the
gangster.
OG New York, because those were the Upper East Side rich bitches that are kooky and wild, and they were actually friends. Like, they actually knew each other. It wasn't an assembled cast of women that you kind of put together. That if I had to pick my favorite, would be, like, I'm even going back to, like, this means nothing to you, but, like, Alex and Simon and, you know, like, Ramona, Sonia, Jill, Bethany.
What about Luann. The one that was married to Kelsey Grammer?
Camille. Look, those were the heydays of Beverly Hills, too. Oh, those were great. Those were great
Is
times.
There, like, a lot of sex in those shows?
Sometimes.
They
sometimes
show
there's
sex?
A sexy,
well, not sex,
Sometimes
but.
There's, like, a sexy couple within, like, the cast. Like, a couple that just, like, just likes to talk about their sex life a lot.
And they're just doing it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm. There's another couple right now in New York that talks about how they haven't had sex in a year and a half since they had their babies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Year and a half, no sex?
It's a long time.
Let me ask you this. Is this true? I heard somewhere that if a man watches his wife give birth and he's staring at the vagina, thank you.
Yeah.
That if he watches it, some men will like
be turned off forever.
Be turned off forever. Is that true?
My husband stared at a corner like of the room, hyperventilating.
What about your husband?
I had a surrogate because I was worried about this.
Ah.
I'm just kidding.
But I could see, I could see Cutter being, Cutter did not want to look.
Oh, yeah.
At all.
Yeah, good
no.
for Cutter.
I mean, I had my friend Stephanie there, like putting
Stephanie
her hand
looked.
In my vagina, touching his head as he's crowning.
Come again?
Yeah, she put her hand, she said, "Do you?" I remember the doctor asked me, do you want to reach down and touch his head? And I said, no, but my friend Stephanie
while it's
was
coming
like,
out?
I will. Oh, yeah, crowning.
Reach out and touch a right. baby's head.
Yeah.
As it comes
I'm done having babies,
vagina.
But I would have given you that opportunity if you wanted, Michael. My births were parties.
Wait a minute. Did you? What opportunity?
To touch a head at the crowning? Is that something you'd be interested in?
I don't even know how the hell that would happen. That's
you can YouTube it.
Really? I don't know. I mean, if I was with someone and they wanted me to be there, I would be there. But I don't think I need to see. I'd be looking in her eyes and breathe with her and I love you. I'm here for you. I don't care if you fart or whatever. Things happen.
Look, she's probably shitting on the table. Is
probably. Wear a mask and then it happens and I'll look down and go, oh, there's the kid. Oh, yeah. Look, that's our baby that probably came out of your vagina. I didn't see it, but I assume
right.
it happened.
Yes. That's probably the move.
Yeah. So Cutter didn't do it.
No.
You're and probably glad.
For sure. He didn't need to be there.
I mean, it's nice if a guy could do it. I mean, some women would be out there going, how could, that's a beautiful thing.
No, I'm not pressuring him into doing that. No.
Mm.
No.
All right. So you're watching Bravo.
I feel like for better or worse, like very disconnected from this business now.
Really?
I do.
Does Cutter
almost
like that? Sir,
sometimes I'm like, is this bad? Like I forget that I'm like an actress sometimes.
Do your agents check in with you?
Yes.
Do they say, hey, we're looking into some stuff. There might be this. Are you
still? I also think that I used to stress so much about my career. I used to stress so much and put so much value on myself and if I had work or not. And I really don't anymore. I really don't. I love it still. I know I still want to do it, but it's really, it's not that it's less valuable to me or important, but it's just not everything anymore. I don't know if it's just getting into my 40s or what it is, but there was just a big shift for me about it. I don't feel like I have anything to prove.
You don't.
But no one does. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's the thing. Everyone, look, if you're doing this, if you're in something because you want to prove yourself and you want daddy to be happy and you want all these, then you're not doing it for the right reasons. You have to at some point go, hey, who am I doing this for?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not doing it for yourself, who are you doing it for?
Yeah. Did we talk about this last time we were in here? Where like I kind of quit for a little while and then I went into it.
I quit for a little while too. I mean, with the exception of a little things here and there, but like, yeah, it didn't appeal to me. It was just, but now I'm getting, you know, the flow a little bit in terms of like the juices flowing, but I don't know yet. It has to be the right
thing.
Can
we manifest a job together? We would have so much fun.
Oh my God.
We would have so much fun.
Yeah.
There's something about you, like whenever I'm with you, you bring out like, you know, there's just people that bring out like sides of you. You bring out a very playful side of me.
I do.
You do. Probably because we met doing game nights together.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know I had a crush on you.
I know.
You made it clear. Cutter, it was a long time ago.
It was fine.
Many, you have children now. You didn't look.
You were adorable in the way you would hit on me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was never like put off by it.
No, I enjoyed it. Playful. And then one time I was like, hey, we should maybe hang out sometime if you're.
I think I was dating somebody by the time you actually
asked. You were
wearing
a guy named Mark Sanchez. Because the Jets guy, he just gave a look like, what? No, but like.
Random.
I remember just going, you know, hey, you know, it'd be nice to hang out. She's like, well, I'm sort of dating somebody right now. Oh, shit. And then somebody told me, like, what the hell? I can't top a fucking NFL football player.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, you just had bad timing.
It was bad timing. Yeah.
Yeah.
We would have helped each other with our disabilities. My mental disabilities.
That's right.
You know. Let me ask you this. What do you do now? Because with the podcast, you have another podcast.
Yeah.
So what happens to the other podcast? You know, Not Today, Pal is your new one.
Yeah. So
with
we
Rob.
Had Pajama Pants before.
Right?
And so Tom Segura and Christina P were fans of Pajama Pants, which was like so weird. We had like 10,000 listeners a week. We were like this tiny little podcast, but this like small and mighty, we called them our panties. And like, we had so much fun doing that podcast because we were just idiots. And me, Rob, and our other co-host, Kasim G, are all so different and but so much love for each other. And it was silly and fun, but you know, we weren't making a ton of money from it. And then when I moved to Austin and then Rob moved to Austin and then Cass was still in LA, like, you know, over Zoom, like you said, like, it's hard to get a good.
It takes forever.
Yeah.
And
it's just hard.
I was going to quit so many times.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just things kind of clicked here and there. And not that it's like Becca's podcast, but,
right.
You know, we have a lot of people out there who are just really loyal and love the podcast and help the podcast and spread the word.
Great interview, too.
Well,
you're good at what you do.
I mean, I'm just like, I've learned. I've gotten better because I think in the beginning, like some of my friends would be interviewed and like Swartzen or Bobby Lee, and they'd go, don't interrupt me. You're interrupting me. I'd keep it in there. I go, sorry, I don't know what I'm doing. Sorry, I just was like, so you learn that. You learn to listen a little more.
Yeah.
I don't get as nervous anymore. I figure, you know, we're going to have a good conversation. We're going to, you know, figure it out.
Yeah, we just sat down. We didn't even, didn't even say, let's go. We were just talking.
No, we've been talking for a half an hour.
Holy shit.
Yeah, we don't even have that long to go.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Bummer.
No, but bummer. Becca's like, get me out of here.
So when PJ Pants was kind of like, you know, this is just not doing anything for anyone. And it's just the chemistry is not what it was when we were all together in a room. Tom and Christina were then expanding their YMH Studios network, their podcast network, and wanted to bring Rob on. And then Rob was like, well, I want Jamie to do the show with me. So that's where Not Today, Pal came from. And it's, you know, Rob and I have a very unique experience, like that we share together, which bonds us very deeply, but like has nothing to do with our relationship today. And so, Not Today, Pal is about, you know, him usually just making me very uncomfortable and me reacting to it.
Like, what does he make you uncomfortable about? What do you get uncomfortable with?
I actually don't get uncomfortable. I'm a good sport, I think. You know, he just likes to, they make fun of me. yeah, they make fun of me a lot.
What do they make fun of you about?
Cutter takes pictures of me meditating and sends it to him.
Oh.
And then they make fun of me. He likes to show me pictures of me and ex-boyfriends and talk about it. Like, yeah.
Well, who are some of your other ex-boyfriends?
Well, he likes to talk to my ex-husband a lot, which I don't.
Well, that's,
I don't.
It was an agent, right?
He was my manager. Yeah.
He was your manager.
Yeah. Can we not talk about him? He gets too much airtime.
You brought it up.
I did. Now we're
I don't want to talk about it. I don't even remember his name. Don't even say it.
Yeah.
Does it start with an A? His last name?
Mm-mm. First name.
Okay, so I was right. I mean, it starts with an A.
Yeah.
So does the word asshole.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, if you want to.
A lot of things start with A.
Yeah, that's for sure.
A lot of things do.
Do you miss, what do you miss about, like, if you had to just describe it in, like, one sentence? What is the one thing
I say it to Rob all the time. I wish we could just do 1 week of filming right now.
Like, right now.
Right, because of just, like, my awareness of like the world and what that was and what we were a part of and like who I just wish I could experience it like one episode. Give me one episode right now. Like just drop me back in for a couple of days.
What would the episode be about?
Good question. The family, some sort of internal struggle with the family. So a family heavy one. I always loved moments when Meadow and Tony got quiet together. And it was all our scenes when we would get quiet together. The dialogue would actually be really limited. It would just be these like heavy, like pregnant pauses. And Jim was the type of scene partner where it felt like he was there and his only intention was to make me as good as I could be.
Wow.
And it had nothing to do with him.
Isn't that
every time I work with him, I felt like his sole purpose was, I'm going to help you give your best fucking take, Jamie. Yeah.
Did you feel the same way? Like, Jim, I'm going to make you as good as you can be.
Definitely didn't feel that way. But I more was like just watching a really amazing.
That's when artist. You know you have it, when you're so confident in yourself as a performer that you just want to make the other person.
It had nothing to do with his confidence because he was actually not.
He wasn't? He was insecure?
Oh, my God, yes.
What would he do? Like, I'm doing another take. Fucking, what the fuck am I? What's the fucking line?
No, he would question himself. Like, there would be moments where he'd be like, I fucking suck. But I appreciated that because I've had those thoughts, but I didn't say them out loud because I don't want anybody to know that I think I suck. He was confident enough to say it out loud.
Oh, I would.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yes, I guess there was a confidence there, but it came more from him deeply caring. Deeply caring. He was an exceptional human being.
I've had that while I'm working, like I'm starting a scene and I just am like, God, please cut. I want to say cut right now. I'm not going to because I can't.
Yeah.
But this sucks.
It's just not working.
And I'm not into it. And you better get into it because you got another 3 minute scene here going. So, okay, fuck it. And then you just turn it on. And then there's like, we can use the last half of that. I'm like, that's what I thought. Burn the first half. Burn the fucking first half.
Well, I think that's why I'm like, would love to work with you because I think that in TV, it's so fast paced now that it's so hard to like, unless you're in a show for a couple of years, to like get in a rhythm with people and feel so safe with them to be able to play like that. Like you and I have a chemistry and a rapport and a relationship where like if I work with you, I would feel so safe to do that. And I just, when you're guest starring or even like pilots and this, it's so fast. It's so hard to be able to find that,
just to jump into something and you don't really know someone and it's a little intimidating, it's just to get the nerves, you got this whole thing. But when you connect with someone that you just look at and they're like, hey, let's do this, you want to, and they're just cool, they want to run it, they want to play with you, they want to do this, you know. And just, you know, I've had some of those relationships where they could say or I could say, because we were close enough, where I'd look at them, I go,
love it.
You know, I just
love it.
Say it again. Because I got your back.
Yes. And then
Tom would do the same with me or whatever. But you have to have if you don't know the person, you go, do that again. They're like, what the fuck? Fuck you. What the fuck you telling me? But if you know the person, you're like,
if anyone did that,
you're like, hey man, you know, cause we're in the moments and stuff. And if you see me and you're like, hey, you know, just fucking just throw my, I like curveballs. I like people playing with me. Let me say that line again. Take it back. Just take it back to your line real quick. And then I'm going to say three in a row like that. What the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing?
Love it.
And you know what I mean? Yes. And you know, and it's not, some people are like, no, no, I don't want to just go right through the, you know.
Yes.
It's just getting the moments, getting yes. the moments and not, and just trusting. That's nice. It's nice to have a partner like that because you the don't dream. Always get that.
No, no.
Everybody wants to prove themselves. Mm-hmm. I'm a great actor. I'm like, hey, I don't care how great you think you are. I want to get a great performance so it's on that camera yeah. and it could last a lifetime.
Yeah. And you really like, look, you can't always care that much, want. But right, right.
You but try you, sometimes.
But
get what you need. Yeah. I'm done. Go ahead.
Deep.
That was Rolling Stone.
I'm aware. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, like, you know, you can't always care about the story. At least I haven't always like cared about the story that I'm telling. And sometimes when you're in it, you don't think about the story that you're telling. But I would like, I think the dream, right, is to get to a point where you feel passionate about the stories you're telling.
Yeah. I could see you directing.
Really?
Yeah. Why couldn't you direct?
I don't know.
Do you know how to read?
Like a lot of responsibility. No, I like no, to no, show no. up and go home.
Here's the thing.
I don't want to care about all the people.
But look, if you're directing TV or something, or if you want to direct a movie, I mean, I think people nowadays, it's about the angles and it's about this and it's all about the story. If you have a great story, it really directs itself. So, you know, you have a crew that I just see you talking, people respecting you and, you know, being able to talk to actors. And I just think you'd have fun. Hey, yes, it is exhausting. Maybe one day.
My kids are young.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it is exhausting. There's nothing more.
It's a
more,
lot of work. Look, I loved popping in and out of Albuquerque, doing my scenes, and then going back home to Austin. Yep. Like, that was...
So you want to work a couple days a week and then, you know, be with your family or just, you know, watch Bravo.
Yep.
That's what you
unless,
want to do.
Unless I'm feeling like I am, like, vibrating from like the work that I'm doing. Like if it feels like I'm growing and I'm getting better and I'm challenging myself and this feels amazing, which it does even when you work 2 to 3 days of episode for sure. But I it's been a minute since I've had that like that feeling.
Yeah, that feeling's hard to get.
It is.
You've lost that loving feeling.
I haven't lost it. I long for it.
You long for it.
I it'll I come again. Long for it'll it. Come again.
Yeah,
it'll come again.
What do you talk about on the podcast? Is it really just everything? Like you're yeah. saying. I mean, can you get yeah. personal?
Oh yeah.
Do you cry?
Not on Not Today, Pal.
Not Today, Pal. You don't cry.
We don't.
There's
cry.
No crying.
No. No, it's light. Playful, it's very light. Playful.
Gets
it's
people into their
minutes.
Day. They're going. Oh, it's only 30 minutes.
It's 30 minutes.
And where can they find this? Spotify.
Yeah, anywhere you get
Shopify.
Podcasts.
Shopify. Wherever the kids Apple, are podcast, doing all those things.
Yeah, wherever you find podcasts, you
that's
can get
great.
It.
Let me ask you a really personal question.
Great.
Not like there hasn't been personal questions today. Now, it's not a personal, but like me, I would like every time I have something wrong with me or it's this or a bulging disc or this or I look online.
Mm-hmm.
And I go down rabbit holes
mm-hmm.
and it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I go to ZocDoc.com, you know, real doctors. No, but I will sometimes do that. So if, you know, if I had a, God forbid, a tumor or something, I would go, how long can you live with a tumor?
Mm-hmm.
How long can you live with a tumor if it's in your neck? How long can you know what I mean? I'll just go down these things. Is MS something that people can live long lives? Because I remember my friend, his mom had MS when I was young and she had it for like 40 or 50, like 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was diagnosed, and I don't know if every neurologist would say the same, but I'm very appreciative that the man that diagnosed me said, there's no reason to think that you can't live a very healthy and long life. Like, this isn't a death sentence. You know, modern medicine has come a long way in ways of supporting and slowing down the progression of the disease. And it's, you know, it's still very individual. It's still, I have good days and bad days in that, like, I can still do all of the same things, which is why I'm very confident working. Like, I don't feel like I'm going to wake up one day and be like, guys, I can't really walk. It's not that. It's how I feel internally is my good days or bad days, which, look, we all have that. I can push through, and some days I don't have to push through as much. I think where I get the most sad sometimes is like, man, this could be forever for the rest of my life that I have to live with this. That's where I can get a little sad. Like it's gonna be a little hard forever, probably.
Yeah, but I mean, with technology and the way things are moving, who knows? I mean, why aren't they able to reverse it? I mean, I'm surprised they haven't been able to do that yet. And Alzheimer's and all these things are so tragic. It's like we're waiting for that, you know. And when I think it will happen.
I do too.
I really do.
I do too.
And
I do too.
It'd be magical.
I do too.
You have to always have hope, and it's not false hope, because it's not like we're in the fucking 1700s and you don't know what the hell's going on. So.
I have a lot of hope, but I think that I have learned that it's better to not think about that too much, because it can take me so far away from what it is now. The more accepting I am getting in the now, the less pressure I feel about it.
Yeah, you don't want it to consume you. Mm-mm. You're like, hey, I can't. Well, they always say, you know, if you can't control something, if you can't change something, shelve it. If you can't change or control something, shelve it, because it's not my
responsibility.
So
I can't.
When that time comes,
I do the best I can to take care of myself the best way possible.
You look like honestly great. Thanks. I was just gonna go like your arms, your legs look like muscular, and
I work out.
You don't look 42. I swear to God, if I had a gun to my head,
what does 42 look like?
Well,
now?
I mean, could I feel show like you people confusing. That are 42, and you know,
I appreciate what you're saying. Thank you.
I think you honestly, if I had to guess, I go, oh, she's probably 33. Well, because what do you have? Evian skin cream? What is that?
What skin cream?
Evian, what is it called? Evian? Is that water?
I think I've used...
It's water. Sorry.
I don't know what skin cream I have on. It's just some moisturizer. I don't have makeup on, though. I'm not a makeup gal.
Becca! Do you have makeup?
No.
I have more on than she does. I have some concealer.
She has concealer.
She has nothing.
You have nothing?
I'm not a makeup person.
But like, that's because of your genetics.
I don't know.
You have like Jew in you.
I'm a Jew.
And you have something else.
Cuban.
You know.
Greek.
There you go.
Little Ashkenazi.
We all have Ashkenazi.
Yeah, we're all little Ashkenazi.
Little Ashkenazis. I could talk to you forever about this. About everything.
About being Ashkenazi.
About being Ashkenazi. Is Cutter's the opposite of Jew? He's not a
Cutter is not a Jew. Not a Jew. Though he acts like a Jew. He is Larry David.
Okay, I thought you were going to say something that might insult the Jewish race, but
I would never. My husband is Larry David. Like, for instance, him and Rob Eiler are very close, which I love. They have their own separate relationship. He sent Rob a picture the other day of him with splattered shorts, and it just said "done with urinals, bro," because like that's him. Like or he'll just walk in a room and be like, shouldn't eat that burrito, and then just like walk out.
I do that.
Yeah, that's why I love you. See,
yeah, I do that shit.
Or he'll just like walk in and be like, oh, the kids will be doing this. He'll be like, it never ends. And then just keep walking.
Never ends.
That's his famous quote. If there's anything going to go on his tombstone, it's that.
Did you ever see Curb Your Enthusiasm episode with the effeminate 10-year-old kid who goes up to Larry and goes, what are you looking at, Larry? And Larry goes, oh, I'm looking at these things about this writing about Hitler. He goes, what's a Hitler? And he goes, well, he was a very bad man. You know, he did a lot of bad things. Oh, what's that? Oh, that right there, that's a swastika. And he goes, "Ooh, I like it." He goes, you like the swastika? He goes, "Yeah, it goes this way and that way and this way and this way. Yeah, can I get one for Christmas?" He goes, "Yeah, I don't think the Jews would appreciate that." He goes, "Get a life, Jews." It's so ridiculous. It's so funny that my uncles and everybody were all Jews. God. We all laugh at it because it's like the kid doesn't get it.
No.
What's a Hitler? What's a swastika? I don't know what that is. It though. It's cool. It was just really funny.
Oh, that's so
Can we
so
air
good.
That or we get in trouble? Of course not.
I'm they not showed offended.
It on. I'm not offended. Are you offended?
No, but I'm a Jew.
Yeah. But I'm a Jew. What does offend you? What do you find offensive?
Being unnecessarily rude to people. I know everyone's dealing with shit. I'm very aware. I always give people passes. I'm really sensitive to everyone. I understand that I have no idea what you're dealing with, but I still do not think it's ever an excuse to be fucking rude.
Yeah, like people in the restaurant going, excuse me, where's our fucking meal?
No, exactly.
Like there's
no reason to be rude. You can be down, you can be somber, you can remove yourself, you can excuse yourself, but there's never an excuse to be fucking rude.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. Yeah, it's sometimes you want to be like, you know, when somebody's rude at you, that's different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to stand up for yourself.
Would you rather have someone say, all right, try to keep a straight face here.
Okay.
Somebody, you have the choice, and they're serious when they say this. They cut you off by going, quiet, or shut up, or shh.
Which bothers me more?
A snap. What's the first one? What's the one thing? I have mine that I'd be like, okay, I'm okay with that.
Which one am I okay with?
Well, out of all of them, what's the worst and what's the one
that... snap is the worst.
Snap's the worst. Hey, can't do it.
Sent a chill up my spine. Yep. The shh I can, I guess, deal with.
Shh is okay, but you know what mine is? I don't mind when someone says...
Shut up.
Quiet.
You don't mind it?
It's kind of just funny.
Really? Because
I say it to people too. I go, people will be talking when I'm walking by or driving. I go, quiet. And they go, what do you say? I always say it. I always say quiet.
You know, the only time I get actually kind of pissy at people is when I play Settlers of Catan.
Ooh, I have that game and I've never played it. We should play that. So many people have told me about that. It's called Catan.
Yes. I love Catan.
Wait, is
I
that,
play it on my phone.
Maybe, or isn't there a game called Raw?
Not familiar.
The sun god, Ra.
That sounds like a but nerd game.
Catan, I have that downstairs.
I love it.
It's a little difficult to understand, right?
Yes, but once you get it, it's good.
Yeah. I think it's time for shit talking with Jamie Lynn Sigler.
Let's do it. I'm looking at my little face behind your left shoulder, by the way.
Yeah, you're
I didn't
on
realize
it.
That.
You made the wall.
I made the wall.
Yeah,
I made
you did.
The montage.
Where are you? I don't see you.
Right there.
I see you. Yeah, you don't age. That's pathetic, really.
Now it's making me question if I should go back to the side part. Hair. Let me see.
Well, you look elegant there. Right now you look like
elegant.
The girl next door. What?
I'm going to get into my elegant era. I'm going to go back
go
to my
back
side
to
part.
Go back to elegance, please. Whatever you were doing, go back to that.
Got it. Noted.
All right. Shit talking. Patreon.com/insideofyou. Leanne. What is your all-time favorite TV theme song?
Beverly Hills 90210 theme song.
I use this one. You know what mine is? Give me a break, cause I shall need one. Give me a break. Nell Carter, give me a break.
Yeah, Nell Carter, of course.
Love that. I love it. I finally found where I belong.
Wow.
Give me a break. You don't know that, do you?
I remember the show,
you know,
but I'm not remembering to play it.
You know, you guys, yeah, I'm going to play it because you guys are looking at me. And when you hear it, you're going to be like, wait a minute. That's
give me. I just like that good electric guitar of Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Give me a break.
There's something about a synthesizer look. I know you share my love of 80s music. Yeah. My wedding band was an 80s, was this Spasmatics. Like,
amazing.
There's something about a synthesizer and a voice like Nell Carter that just feels like home.
It does. It does. It feels like you're home. I actually said that before because somebody asked a question like that recently, and I came up with Nell Carter again. That's the second time.
Big Nell Carter fan.
I'm sticking with it.
I love it.
I love that show. Raj, tell me about your worst haircut. Never had one.
It was on a set. I was doing this movie in the Dominican Republic, and the hairdresser was old school, and they wanted more like volume in my hair. And so we had like come up with like, maybe let's put some extensions. And he was like, no, I have an idea. I'm going to cut layers. And when I say cut layers, they were like at the top of my head all the way down to where they had to fly someone in to put extensions in my hair because of how much he ruined my head.
Did you cry?
No.
Liar.
No, I didn't cry.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think I cried when they shaved my head for the first time.
Really? Yeah. Tell me about that. No, Is that weird to see? I didn't cry. You had a shaved head for a long time, right?
I just was nervous because I'm like, they're going to fire me. I've got this weird bump. It's my occipital bone.
You thought they were going to fire you because you had a bad dome? Oh, yeah.
Well, I wasn't as pretty as the rest of the cast. So I was kind of like, you know, I felt odd man out. It was a very CW, you know, very beautiful cast. So I just thought they'd fire me. But it turned out.
You got a good dome.
Yeah. Who's the coolest member, DJ Kento asks, member of the YMH studio family?
Oh, God, that's so hard to pick. I love Christina.
Yeah?
I love her. She's like big mommy energy. She calls everybody mommy, and she's just loving. She's really supportive and loving. I love her.
Jessica B., what's your favorite piece of clothing you own and why?
A cashmere sweater from The Row.
From The Row?
Because it was like thousands of dollars.
Jeez Louise.
That I got at a sample sale, but still, it just feels expensive when I wear it.
Give me your best impression of anybody you do impressions of, even if it's your mom.
I don't do impressions.
How would you,
for this reason.
How would you, if you were your mom, how would you be? Your mom angry as a child, when you're a child.
There were no words. There were being things thrown. And fists flying.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Your mom was Cuban. A smacker?
Big time. There was no words, I'm telling you. It was just it was like a out of nowhere. Cross the face, cross the back. You never saw it coming.
The golden days when parents could hit their kids.
I know my lane. I don't mean that. It's
like
not
hit
my...
their kids, but an occasional butt smack.
No, people used to hit their kids.
Yeah. Thank
That's
you.
That's how it went.
Thank you.
Yep.
Carrie B., I also have MS. I'll be at the primary progressive form, and I'm curious as to what your process is to keep yourself healthy and able to get through such long work days. Like, is there something in particular
that
you do?
I don't go to lunch with the crew. I eat lunch in my trailer, which is a bummer.
To save your strength.
Yep. Just to rest. Just to rest. I don't go out after work. I'm kind of, when I'm working, it's just work and then home. And I don't hang out as much. Not even to say because I would have the energy, but just to conserve if I needed. And I ask for help more. I'll ask for a chair. I'll ask for my trailer closer or a van. And when you realize like it's not that big of a deal, and then people start to get it. I will say I just joined this board called the 1 in 4 Coalition, which is like basically just trying to educate all different areas within this business about people with disabilities. And a lot of productions are now going to start hiring like disability coordinators. So that first AD wouldn't have to have that conversation. Like the people in Big Sky figured it out as we went along. But now there'll be somebody that could literally just be like, this is what you're going to need for actors, you know, crew members, everyone. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to feel like, oh, I'm asking, even though you shouldn't have to feel that way. But this is somebody who will take care of your needs.
That's right.
I like it. Lastly, Jen T. Her first interview was the reason I became a patron of Inside of You. Please tell her that I said thank you for sharing her story about her MS diagnosis. As someone like myself who this year was tested for several neurological conditions, it was a scary time. Because of her, I felt that I was truly not alone.
That's very sweet. It makes me emotional because that's like, but that's the exchange that I'm getting to, because when I talk about it, I feel less alone. When I share and get messages like that, it reminds me, because that's, you know, that's what we all want to feel, right?
It's not human, alone. Right? It's a great thing about being a human being, mm-hmm. when other people act like human beings.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Well, if you ever need anything from me, I'm here.
I know.
Seriously.
I know.
I mean, go to Becca first.
Well, obviously.
No, I'm kidding.
Obviously.
No, you could honestly ask me for anything. I'd be there in a heartbeat.
I know you would.
I adore the
Vice
crap
versa.
Out of you.
I yeah. love you.
I don't want to bother you.
Why would
what
you
if I just
bother?
Called you one day and say, hey, I'm just
You rude. Would make me so happy.
I would?
Yeah. I wouldn't be, if I didn't. Was that the tree?
It was a ghost.
You have ghosts in here?
Mm-hmm. Of Halloween past.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say.
What's your favorite horror movie, by the way?
I loved all Freddy Krueger when I was a kid.
Yeah, but a lot of them are terrible. But there's a few good ones. The first one's great.
First one.
The Dream Warriors was great.
I remember, so, you know, remember Blockbuster's a thing. I remember Friday night, my dad took me to Blockbuster and I got Sleepaway Camp and I watched it by myself.
Angela.
And I couldn't get over at the end when you saw the penis, when they showed
a
penis
to give
at
it
the
away.
End.
Way to give it away.
Okay.
No, it's 40 years old. If you haven't seen it, tough shit. But Sleepaway Camp, if you haven't seen it, it's a doozy.
I mean, what scared me most was the penis. Like, that's what really freaked me
and
the fuck out.
And it freeze frames on her face at the end. Like, have you seen it? Sleepaway Camp.
Oh my God, it's so bad, but so good.
So bad, but so good. I adore the crap out of you. This is great. Same I knew it would be. Thanks for being here.
I hope it was.
What do you mean you hope it was?
I don't know. I just want to be invited back.
You'll come back whenever you want to come back. Okay. If you feel like you want to say something, you come back.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
All right.
See
you later. Love you. Epic. Epic. That's all I'll say. Jamie, I love you. I think you're a wonderful human being and you spread joy to many people and you give them hope and your honesty. And it just is admirable. So thank you. And your talent. Don't forget your talent and your beauty and your intellect. All that stuff. Guys, again, if you like the podcast and you said, hey, not bad, write a review. Follow us on the handles at Inside of You Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, at Inside of You Pod on the Twitter. And join Patreon. Support the podcast by joining Patreon and give back. Patreon.com/Inside of You. Everything helps. Let's give the shout outs. You ready for this, Ryan?
I am.
All right. Here's the shout outs to my level of patrons. And here we go. Nancy Delicious, Leah and Kristen, Lil Lisa, Yukiko, can you hear me? Yukiko, you're the best. Jill E, Brian Hinnenkamp, Nico P, Robert B, Jason Weaver, Sophie M, Raj C, Joshua D, Jennifer N, Stacy L, Jamal F, Janelle B, Mike E, Eldon Supremo, 99 more, Santiago M, Chad W, Leanne P, hope you're feeling better, Leanne, Maddie S, Belinda N, Dave Hall.
Hello, Dave. It's Dave Hall. I love my Dave Hall. Couldn't live without him.
Sheila G, Brad D, Ray Hadada. Tabitha T, Tom N, Talia M, Betsy D, Rhiannon C, Corey K, Deb Nexon, Michelle A, Jeremy C, Brandy D, Joni B, Joey M, Eugene and Leah, Corey, Angela F, Maddie S, Mel S, Christine S, Eric H, Shane R, Andrew M, Amanda R, Jen B, Kevin E, Stephanie K, Jarrell, Jammin J, Leanne J's here, Luna R, Mike F, Stone H, Kayla, Stay Wild, Moonchild. Oh, I will. Brian L, Kendall L, Kara C, Jessica B, Kyle F, Marisol P, Kaylee J, Brian A, Ashley F, Mary Louise L, Romeo B, Frank B, Jen T, Nikki L, April RM, Derek N, JDW, Oral P, Ginger Insomniac, huh, Ginger? I know who you are. Rachel D, Lorelai L, hi, Lorelai. Thanks for all your support. I really appreciate you. Melissa too. Melissa H, Nicholas W, and Stephanie and Evan. You guys rock. Patreon.com/insideofyou. That's it.
I just want to say I met some of you
yes.
at this live podcast.
And yes, a lot of you.
It was very nice of you to come up. So like Anna Rhymes the Banana was there.
Yeah.
Angelica was there.
Eldon Supremo.
Eldon Supremo was there. I met Nancy D. I met Raj C. 99 More, who I believe his name is Sydney.
Yeah, there's a lot of patrons there.
I met all of you, and it was very nice. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys rock. They love Ryan.
It was very nice.
They love Ryan.
It was very neat.
You're lovable.
It was nice.
From the Hollywood Hills in Hollywood, California, I'm Michael Rosenbaum.
I'm Ryan Taylor still.
Little wave to the camera. Okay. We love you guys. Thank you. And of course, be good to yourself.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.